Hello, I'm Laura Castleton, U.S. Head of Portfolio Construction and Strategy at Janus Henderson Investors. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
Global markets pull back following yesterday's U.S. sell-off.
Instead of kind of that glass half full approach we had on Wednesday, suddenly on Thursday the glass is half empty. That has carried into Asian markets on Friday, where we've seen a further sell-off.
Plus, port operators warn of further congestion in the coming months, and the FDA limits the use of Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine. It's Friday, May 6th. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Global benchmarks pulled back today following a broad market sell-off in the U.S. on Thursday that saw the Dow Jones Industrial Average shed more than 1,000 points, its worst day since 2020. Markets in mainland China, Hong Kong, Australia, and South Korea all fell today, with drops most pronounced for tech stocks, echoing yesterday's trends in the U.S. We'll have more on what's driving the broader market sell-off and whether it's likely to continue later in the show. U.S. officials have said that Washington provided intelligence that enabled Ukraine to identify and sink the Russian missile cruiser Moskva last month. The Moskva was the flagship of Russia's Black Sea Fleet, and its sinking was a major boost for the Ukrainian military in its fight against Russia. The U.S. has provided battlefield intelligence to Ukraine's forces, but has been reluctant to detail the extent of that assistance to avoid escalating tensions with Moscow. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has limited the use of Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine after reviewing the risk of life-threatening blood clots after confirming a total of 60 cases, including 9 deaths, among the millions of people who got the shot. The shot's authorization now covers only those adults for whom other shots aren't available or medically appropriate, or who won't take another vaccine. Johnson & Johnson said it has updated its information about the vaccine to increase awareness of the clotting condition, and it touted its benefits relative to no vaccine. And ports on the U.S. West Coast and Europe are bracing for increased congestion amid the prospect of China lifting stringent COVID-19 lockdowns in major cities. Shanghai, China's largest city and a major manufacturing hub, is still subject to COVID-19 lockdowns and has been for weeks. WSJ Markets reporter Caitlin McCabe says despite a risk of returning to the shipping bottlenecks seen earlier in the year, some factors could alleviate the situation.
Shifts in consumer habits, like money being spent on services such as dining and travel, could dampen shipping demand. And some observers are hopeful that eventual reopening in China will have less impact.
WSJ Heard on the Street columnist Rochelle Toplensky writes that decarbonization is shaping up to be the next industrial revolution as the world embarks on a massive shift from fossil fuels to renewables, causing some industries to decline as others rise in the process. But with energy markets and national policies giving us mixed signals now, where exactly does that transformation stand? Rochelle joins us now with a look at that question. Hi, Rochelle.
Thank you very much for having me, Luke.
So let's start with the big energy giants. Many of them have reported their quarterly earnings in the last few days and weeks. What do those results tell us in terms of this broader decarbonization trend?
Well, I think the big message that really came out of the earnings for me was, which is I think what they're trying to get across, is despite the really high energy prices and the sort of bumper profits that they're seeing, they're really saying to investors, we're sticking to our capital discipline. So whatever their plans were before, say 6 months ago, they're pretty much sticking to them. They're not being pushed for more green energy or less. They're not being pushed for more drilling or less. This is about, we're making big profits. We've told you investors what we're going to do. And we've got some extra cash. We're going to give you the buybacks. But despite what the politicians are saying, and despite what in the past, maybe we sort of have chased some of these prices, we're very disciplined with our capital now, and we're just going to stick to our plans. It is a good outcome that they have made some plans and they're sticking to it. I think if you're coming from this looking at where we need to get to be at net zero by 2050, we're not getting there quite fast enough. But I don't think, in all honesty, most people who are quite hardcore green advocates were probably expecting the oil and gas companies to be leading this. That's probably more for the likes of politicians and the promises and investors to be pushing them to say, okay, actually, maybe you can do a bit more. And consumers too, probably.
And speaking of politicians, is the current focus we're hearing in many countries about energy independence right now shaping how they are planning their future energy policies?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think it caused everybody to think more carefully about energy. And I think it's brought to mind the idea of how reliant we are on it and how easy it is to suffer from a disruption. And so it's important that they do that and that they do sort of have a plan. I think whether it pushes it to countries that are more sort of low carbon fuels or more fossil fuels really depends on the country that you're sitting in. So if, like a lot of the countries in Europe, you are an energy importer, while it may seem more secure today to import that gas from the US or from Qatar than it is from Russia, ultimately, if you want energy security and energy independence, these renewables, hydrogen, solar, wind, they give you that energy independence. However, if you're sitting in the US where you've got huge gas and oil reserves, then that looks a bit different. Then gas is probably a part of your energy security mix. And so maybe you look at doing more gas. So it is early to tell, but I think one of the really important factors is if you produce or if you import.
That was WSJ Heard on the Street columnist Rochelle Toplensky. Rochelle, thank you.
Thanks for having me, Luke. Take care.
Coming up, global markets are trending lower today after yesterday's big sell-off in the United States. Should we be bracing for more volatility? We'll ask our Asia markets editor after the break.
Enter a revolutionary business world where AI meets power with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro. Imagine PCs that boost productivity, creativity, and collaboration with cutting-edge AI. They're gateways to innovation, engineered with powerful AI performance, hardware-based security, and AI-powered threat detection. Plus, they're built sustainably and can be managed remotely. Transform your workflow with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro today. No product can be absolutely secure. Become an IT hero at intel.com/ITheroes.
Following yesterday's more than 1,000-point Dow sell-off, global markets are falling sharply today, too. WSJ Asia Markets editor Quinton Webb joins us now from Hong Kong with a look at what investor trends we can spot within this sell-off and whether we should be preparing for more days like the one we've just had. Quinton, thanks for being with us. Welcome.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
So what is driving this sell-off today in global markets?
Well, it seems to be a bit of a reassessment of what we should take away from Wednesday's Federal Reserve meeting. If you recall, there was a sort of relief rally on the day, particularly because Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell effectively ruled out an even bigger interest rate increase for the next meeting. And that was a little bit bemusing, perhaps. And then Thursday, that was replaced with a big sell-off. So some of the market commentary then sort of suggested, well, actually, investors are sort of refocusing on the series of fundamental challenges that stock markets face. And so instead of kind of that glass half full approach we had on Wednesday, suddenly on Thursday, the glass is half empty. That has carried through a bit into Asian markets on Friday, where we've seen a further sell-off, especially in the Chinese markets, where I think there's some other dynamics at play too. And those relate in particular to the tough challenge China is facing, trying to balance maintaining growth with also prosecuting this very strict COVID zero policy.
Among the drops in Asian markets today, we've seen Asian tech stocks down the most. Why is that? That does seem to parallel some of the dynamics we saw Thursday in the U.S.
Well, I think there's a few things going on with tech. So one thing is that as interest rates and bond yields rise, investors tend to place less value on future cash flows, and that is something that affects high growth stocks the most. The second thing is that we are seeing some of the kind of pandemic boom recede. So there has been some reassessment of how much the world has changed thanks to the pandemic. And you can see that in results from companies like Netflix. Another specific thing in Asia, of course, is disquiet about where exactly the Chinese government is with its wide-ranging series of clampdowns on its own technology sector. And then I would say like a fourth thing is probably just a sort of more generalized risk aversion. That means moving away from more high growth, higher valued, slightly riskier stocks and putting some of your capital into safer bets.
Quinton, is a reassessment of how overvalued markets beyond the US market may be possibly in store here in the weeks and months to come?
Well, that's a good question. But remember, in some senses, the US market has run up further than other markets. Certainly valuations were higher than in many other markets. And that partly reflects the fact that tech has played such a big role in the market boom over the last decade or so in the US. And there are a few other markets that are as tech dominated as the US. Now, China is one. It too has experienced this sell-off amongst offshore Chinese stocks. But broadly, if you were to look at kind of simple measures of valuation, you would see that global stocks tend to be a little bit less richly valued than US ones.
And what are investors doing with their money now, if we can discern that from the sell-offs yesterday and in Asia today?
Well, one thing that seems to be happening is that the dollar is strengthening. It looks like perhaps capital is being repatriated to the US from other parts of the world. Another thing is that we're sort of seeing this kind of sectoral shift. So some of the things that have stood out this year, for example, are energy stocks. It seems like a pretty straightforward bet when you have very high oil prices, for example, and all of these current and potential supply chain disruptions. So there's some sort of shifting below the surface, below the kind of headline index figures, where people are also kind of reallocating from one sector to another.
And Quinton, we are still in early days of what could be a long series of rate hikes from the Fed and other central banks. Does that mean these kind of pronounced sell-offs that we've seen this week will continue? And if so, how will markets and the global economy be affected if they do?
Well, hard to say in advance, but I think what you probably will see is pronounced volatility continuing, because what the market is trying to get a grip on at the moment is to what extent the Federal Reserve will be able to kind of navigate itself out of this rather tricky situation where you've got very high inflation, slowing global growth, these other kind of headaches, including the war in Ukraine and China's kind of difficult fight with COVID-19. So can the Fed engineer a soft landing where it lifts interest rates enough to kind of head off inflation, but not so much that it tips the economy into recession? As we do this, we're sort of entering unfamiliar territory for many investors who have lived their investing life through a kind of long bull market in bonds, for example, where interest rates just ground lower and lower and lower. That's no longer where we are. So I would say for now, this kind of choppiness in the markets is likely to continue.
That was WSJ Asia Markets editor Quinton Webb. Quinton, thank you so much for the update.
Thanks very much.
And finally, it's Mother's Day in the U.S. on Sunday. And while flowers are an obvious gift, this year, the flowers taking center stage aren't the ones you might expect. WSJ contributor Alina Dizek reports that sales of dried flowers are up this year, thanks in part to the very economic issues we often discuss here on the show.
So there's been some supply chain challenges for fresh flowers, and every time that prices of fresh flowers go up, dried flowers can become more popular. At the same time, there's also just the trend of having these dried flowers and this like boho style florals that have been popular for a while, and the dried flowers kind of fit into that.
Plus, Dizek says those boho chic dried flowers will last a lot longer too.
These are trendy bouquets that look like they were gathered in a field and frozen in time. So you could put them all around your house, not worry about having to change the water or about them dying.
And that's What's News for Friday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.
We'll be right back.
Enter a revolutionary business world where AI meets power with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro. Imagine PCs that boost productivity, creativity, and collaboration with cutting-edge AI. They're gateways to innovation, engineered with powerful AI performance, hardware-based security, and AI-powered threat detection. Plus, they're built sustainably and can be managed remotely. Transform your workflow with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro today. No product can be absolutely secure. Become an IT hero at intel.com/ITHeroes.